This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Hey, my name's Otis Gray, host of The Daily Book Club, a daily podcast where I read wonderful old books one chapter at a time. Simple as that. Whether you want to get engaged and lost in a fascinating story that has stood the test of time, or just relax to a good book, listen to The Daily Book Club to get wrapped up or unwind during your day. We'll read classic stories like Pride and Prejudice, The Enchanted April, The Wind in the Willows, beautiful stories all told from start to finish. And you can even do a real book club. Tune into the Daily Book Club Discord and discuss the readings with other book club listeners. However you want to listen, it's your choice. Subscribe to the Daily Book Club on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere else. New episodes every single day. So sit back, relax, and get lost in the Daily Book Club.
Amateur Traveler, episode 212. Today, the Amateur Traveler talks about Reformation, reenactment, and stew as we go to Geneva. Welcome to the Amateur Traveler. I'm your host, Chris Christensen. Today's sound quality may sound a little different. I'm actually recording this from a hotel room in Berlin. My regular microphone is at home, and I'm recording this on an iPhone. I had brought along a portable recorder, but let's just say before you plug in something, always make sure that it can handle 220. But I'm actually not going to talk to you about Berlin today, but about the last stop on our European trip, which was Geneva in Switzerland. We went to Geneva because my daughter has been studying in Geneva. She's been studying there for a semester, and we picked her up to go to Berlin as well as Prague. But before we left Geneva, we had a chance to do some sightseeing, and we also happened to have lucked out in terms of the timing of our visit, as I'll get into in a little bit. The first thing you should know about going to Geneva is that it is, of course, a Swiss city. It is a very pretty city. It is a very clean city, very organized, unfortunately also very expensive right now. It's not so much that the Swiss franc versus the dollar is so bad. The Swiss franc is about 1-to-1 with the dollar, but you'll still find that a Starbucks coffee, for instance, is about 10 francs. And so a lot of things are more expensive because the dollar doesn't go as far. $1 and 1 franc may be the same, but it doesn't buy you as much. It is a lovely city, as I said. It is on the shore of Lake Geneva, and it crosses the end of the lake right as the lake turns into the River Rhone. It is the center of a lot of activity for the UN and also for many charitable organizations. It's where the Red Cross was founded. It has headquarters for several UN agencies, especially agencies regarding aid and health care initiatives. It's also, of course, the home for where the Geneva Convention was signed. And so you can go out and do a tour of the UN. We didn't do a tour of the UN facility itself. We went out there to the spot, but we didn't have time to do a tour on this particular trip. I'm not told that the tour is particularly exciting, so we did skip that this time. There's an interesting monument, though, just opposite the UN facilities, and that is a chair which has a broken leg. So it has three legs of the chair, and one leg is broken in half. And that is a chair for the victims of landmines and for those who are handicapped by landmines, and it was put up just shortly before the death of Princess Diana, which is interesting because she was one of the people who supported removing landmines and outlawing landmines, and it was put up as a monument to all of those who have been injured by landmines. Now, this particular trip was taking place this month, which is December of 2009, and so it was a little cold and very gray in Geneva. One of the most famous landmarks, the jet d'eau, or jet of water, that is normally firing off of the surface of the lake on Geneva, just off the shore there, only works on clear days. And so we saw it the first day we were there, which was a beautiful clear day, but the next days it was very cold and it was very gray, and so they didn't have the jet of water turned on, or jet d'eau. And the wind was blowing off the lake, and they called the wind in Geneva bise, which is apparently the word for kiss. And my daughter asked one of the instructors there why they would call it a kiss. It doesn't feel anything like a kiss. It's a cold breeze. And they said, well, have you ever been kissed by a Swiss person? Which I'm not sure that that would be a politically correct statement, but it is a cold breeze that comes off the lake in December. But it's not a city that was huddling inside, because as we were there, there was a festival there. And this was the festival of the Escalade. And I'll tell you a little more about that. But one of the ways that people were celebrating that is there were some outdoor markets. We were savoring our tartiflette, which is a potato dish made with onions and bacon. And we were watching them ski on a little tiny ski slope as they were teaching some youngsters to ski. They were also skating outside and generally enjoying the outdoor activities. But as I said, this was the weekend of the Escalade. And what that is a celebration of the fact that in 1602, and in 1602, Geneva was a Protestant city, and it was the home for Calvin, John Calvin, and the Reformed Church coming out of the Reformation. This was becoming, as they termed it, the capital of the Protestants in Europe, because a lot of Protestants, such as the French Huguenots, had fled to Geneva to escape persecution. And so at this point in 1602, the Kingdom of Savoy, which was the nearby kingdom in what is now from sort of Geneva down to Nice area, was invading, and they were invading at night. And they were invading this on one of the longest nights of the year, and they had muffled the hooves of the horses, and they were trying to do a sneak attack. They were quietly approaching the city, and yet the alarm was put out, and people rushed to the walls, and they rushed to the walls with their night clothes still on and carrying whatever weapons they could find. Their weapons, if they had them, their farm implements, if they didn't. One woman blocked a passage of some of the Savoy soldiers who were coming with a chest of drawers. And at one point, one woman notoriously emptied her pot of stew, which had been cooking on the fire, because apparently in Switzerland you would cook your stew all the time. You'd always have some stew ready to eat. And she had taken this pot of stew and dumped it on the invaders. And so the symbol of the Escalade is a pot of stew. Nowadays, of course, because we're talking Switzerland, this pot is made of chocolate. And inside are marzipan vegetables, because it's a vegetable stew that's served for the Escalade. And so you'll find people celebrating by taking one of these pots of stew, and apparently the tradition is you're supposed to have the oldest and the youngest present link their arms and bash in the pot of stew, and then at that point people can share in the chocolate that is the pot itself, as well as the marzipan vegetables inside. Now, the way that the Escalade is celebrated, it's celebrated over the entire weekend, and one of the things that happens is reenactment. So while we were looking at the cathedral in Old Town Geneva, we heard this sound. And that, of course, being the sound of drums, but those are the reenactors who are filling the city wearing the costumes of 1602, of the soldiers of the time. And so as we were going through Geneva, especially through the old town of Geneva, throughout the 2 days, we would see bands of reenactors who would be staging sword fights, teaching the kids how to salute with a sword, who would be marching here and there. And we happened upon this sound of the march of a fife and drum corps. In addition to the sound of fife and drum corps, they were also pikemen with their very long pikes who were protecting the, I want to say musketeers, but I think this is actually before the musket, and I believe the correct term is an arquebus. And an arquebus is similar to a musket, but we're not yet at the flintlock stage, and so you actually have a fuse that you're using. And so it makes a terrible noise, but was not necessarily the most accurate of weapons, and it certainly took a long time to get ready to fire, certainly not the rate of fire that one would see later on. And that's one of the reasons why you had your pikemen to protect you while you were reloading your musket or earlier on your arquebus. And so there was a set of these reenactors who were firing this formidable sounding weapon that was echoing through the courtyard of the cathedral.
La mise à feu se fait par incandescence. Et attention à vos oreilles.
And because, again, this was a festival weekend and one of the best weekends, I would have to say, to go to Geneva, the cathedral itself, and the cathedral is in the Old Town section, and it has been there for some time. It has burned down 3 times in its history. It's built on the remains of both Celtic and Roman temples, and you can actually go underneath the cathedral and see an archaeological exhibit that shows some of the excavations they have done there that show those older churches. This particular cathedral, though, is a Protestant cathedral in the sense that it had been a Catholic cathedral, but as the city became Protestant through the early Protestant reformers and then later on through the very notable work of Calvin, this church became very austere. And so, for instance, while we were there, we happened upon someone practicing the organ. Which is ironic because the organ was actually outlawed by Calvin because he thought it to be too distracting, too Catholic. And so he actually had the organ that was in the church at the time melted down into implements that I believe were given to poor families, is what I was told, the story was told. So this organ is actually built in the 1900s, but you can tell how an organ can fill a cathedral. And really, it's interesting, especially this cathedral, which is fairly plain, as I said, except for one chapel, which still has some of the decorations that would have been characteristic of the time. This was a chapel built as a final resting place by a noble for himself, and so it was very ornate and had a lot of stained glass. It was painted in a very beautiful fashion as well, and that chapel was more preserved and restored because in the Protestant Reformation, that actually was no longer a chapel but turned into 2 different classrooms and 2 different stories, and so it was only more recently restored to its original, I'm going to say, splendor. But that cathedral really does come alive when it is filled with an organ sound, or later on, as you'll see, with another different concert. That cathedral is also the resting place of the daughter of William and Mary, William of Orange, who was the King of Netherlands and then later on the King of England. His daughter was married to the Prince of Portugal, and she is buried in that, and as well as some other major Protestant figures who were killed in the fighting that surrounded the 30 Years' War and were brought to be buried to this particular cathedral. Because this was the Escalade, there was also a trumpet concert that just filled that cathedral with the most beautiful music. one of the other treats of the Escalade. It is one of the only times during the year that some secret passages are available to go through. And these are passages that the story goes the townspeople knew about and were able to rush through as the invading soldiers from Savoy were coming in. And so they were able to surround them in places they weren't expecting as they came through these passages, and they're only open once a year. And then finally, on the last night of the weekend, on Sunday night, there is a very long torchlight parade. We went up to the town square as we watched band after band march in, as well as other townspeople who were in costume, as well as horses and carriages and soldiers. And the entire parade takes about 3 different hours as they march throughout the town with people carrying torches and children given candles inside of paper lanterns, which seems like a really bad idea, and then other people carrying large creosote torches that are covering everything with soot nearby. So every picture I have, you can tell that there's haze in the area, and we were just blackened by being close to all of these torches. This parade goes on for 3 hours and then culminates with the singing of the song that is related to the Escalade. I'm told that is 68 different verses, many of them quite specific and quite violent in terms of what was going to have been done to them if they had lost this and what they did to the soldiers from the Savoy who they captured. And so it's a interesting tradition that it's the children who sing this song. So when we went out later on to a restaurant, to get fondue, 2 different children, I would say school age, came in and sang the song, a couple of the verses, and they then went around and collected change from the diners in the restaurant. And then one of the other children who was in the restaurant got up and did the same thing. And so they encouraged the children to remember the stories by paying them off, basically. So that's something you might think about if you're trying to get people to remember your particular history. Getting back to the cathedral, one of the other things you'll find in the cathedral is John Calvin's chair. Apparently, Calvin slept very little and ate only 1 meal a day. He was also, of course, quite sick very often, and apparently his physician told him, yeah, but if you would just sleep and eat, you would feel much better. But he was a serious person, I think we'd have to say. There was, for instance, a Lutheran church outside, and as someone who grew up Lutheran, I found it particularly amusing that Calvin considered those Lutherans both way too Catholic, but also just way too fun-loving, and so they were only allowed to build a church if they didn't make it look like a church. And so just near the cathedral, there is this Lutheran church, but it looks just like a regular building except for a cross above the door, because, you know, those fun-loving Lutherans. Another interesting side bit, historical note, the symbol of Geneva, the flag, is a key on one side and then a bird on the other, which to me looks like half of the Habsburg coat of arms. It's a bird facing to the right. And that's supposed to be the key of St. Peter, and then the bird is the representative of the former ruling canton in this area. Although apparently the locals say that is half a roast chicken and the key to the wine cellar. And speaking of roast chicken, a couple different restaurants for you that I would recommend. One would be a place that specializes in roast chicken, and that's up in the old town, called Chez Ma Cuisine. And as I say, they specialize in roast chicken. And the other two would be fondue places. One would be the Armory Hotel, which is also in the old town. And then another one, which is not necessarily anything fancy, but one that we enjoyed, was Le Bon Vin, or the good wine, which is another fondue place. Fondue is going to be expensive. That's going to run you roughly $25 a person. This being winter, fondue is traditional, but also Glühwein, which is a heated wine that's a spiced wine. And that was something that was available throughout the festivities, as well as other traditional dishes which were available at food booths. If you're in Geneva and it is not the time of the Escalade, one, you might think about going someplace else. There aren't that many things to see. One interesting thing to see, though, would be the Wall of the Reformation, which lists some of the major reformers that influenced the city, and is in a wonderful park with great big chess pieces, an ice skating rink. Another interesting site that we went to, and I'm going to use the English pronunciation for this, is the Foundation Martin Bodmer. And that is just outside of town, and you can get there on the buses. I would recommend a bus pass for Geneva. We got all around Geneva on buses and trolleys, and it's really fairly simple, and you can get a bus pass. Ours came with our hotel. And the Foundation Martin Bodmer is something for book lovers that is a must, because it's a private collection of somebody who really loved his books. And so it contains papyri of ancient scriptures or old Egyptian writings. It contains ancient writings from the Orient, from Arabic writings. It contains some of the first complete codices for the Book of John. It contains illustrated manuscripts from the Middle Ages. It's so cool. It has so many interesting things that by the time I got to first edition folios of Shakespeare, and you know I'm a huge Shakespeare buff, it was like, eh. It's just a first edition folio of Shakespeare. I mean, it's just an interesting, amazing collection there at the Foundation Martin Bodmer. Another stop that we enjoyed was the Reformation Museum. The Reformation Museum is right next to the cathedral, and it covers the history of the Reformation, as the name might have implied. I already knew quite a lot about the history of the Reformation, although I didn't know, for instance, about the French religious wars, the 8 different wars that they fought before they finally kicked out the Huguenots, the French reformers. One part of the museum that amused me is in one of the opening videos, they had Martin Luther and John Calvin talking about the Reformation, and they were using pictures where the lips were moving in sort of a Conan O'Brien-esque fashion, and I thought that was a little interesting, possibly a little cheesy for a museum like this. It took us about an hour to go through the museum. You can also buy a combined ticket, which we did not, which would get you into the archaeological dig under the cathedral. We said they are digging there and exploring a Celtic as well as Roman temples underneath the cathedral, and that would also buy you a ticket to go up into the tower of the cathedral. And I believe if you buy the combined ticket, you also do get the audio guide for free. So this is going to be a little different episode than of The Amateur Traveler. We're not going to make it quite as long. I hope you enjoyed some of the sound-seeing pieces that I was able to capture with my microphone, which has since been shorted out, so I don't know if we're going to have more of those anytime soon. Let me just conclude by saying that I'm told by my daughter that Geneva in the summertime is beautiful. Geneva in the fall is also gorgeous. Geneva in the winter is gray. But again, if you happen to be there in the wintertime, do go there at the time of the escalade. With that, I think we're going to draw this unusual show, this shorter show, and I'm hoping a enjoyable show to you to a close, because I'm not sure when I'm going to get a chance to get an internet connection to upload this, but I wanted to see if I could get one out before I got back home again. I do have 2 announcements. One is that it does look like the first Amateur Traveler trip is on to Vietnam, a 10-day trip at the end of March, and I'll be posting a blog post at Amateur Traveler soon. I'm just looking for a good internet connection before I do that. And then also there is still a meetup on the 22nd of December 2009 in New York City. It'll be at 5 o'clock in the Lolita Bar, and if you're in the area, I'm certainly hoping to see you there. I'll be a little jet-lagged, but I'm still looking forward to meeting everybody. Stay tuned, as I said in the last episode, for more announcements of changes for The Amateur Traveler as I try and do this more full-time. If you have questions about The Amateur Traveler, feel free to put a comment on this episode at amateurtraveler.com or send me an email to host@amateurtraveler.com. And as always, thanks so much for listening.